ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
You're listening to episode 99 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much. This week I've got a great interview with Mark Bertolini, creator of such terrific comics as Breakneck, Long Gone, and Broken, all of which we talk about during our fun conversation. He also lets us in on some of the projects that are coming down the road, and he also describes a little bit of what it's like for him to transition from paper to digital comics and what the good and bad points are. Then we get the latest reviews, news, and previews. Since there's a lot to get to, let's get to them. I want to welcome back to the podcast Mark Bertolini, creator of such good things as Broken and Long Gone, and you've done a lot of great stuff, and according to your own website and stuff, you are a New York Times best-selling comics writer?
Yeah, I mean, by affiliation. I had a short story in second volume of the FUBAR series, Empire of the Rising Dead, and that actually hit, I think, number 6 on the New York Times bestseller for graphic novels. So ever since then, I can legitimately claim to be a New York Times bestseller. It wasn't there for long, but it was there.
Well, that's all that counts, really.
Yeah.
So I also like you call yourself the writer of awesome stuff, which I like.
Well, you know, somebody has to. So.
But it's great stuff. You do a lot of great books. And the first book I learned about your writing was Breakneck, which was a wonderful comic. I think it came out through 215 Inc.
Yeah, 215 Inc. is the publisher of Breakneck.
Yeah, and it's got this great story. It's about the lowest tier villain, and he ends up going over to the good guy side, and they turn him into a butler, basically.
Yeah.
And it was so great. It's just such a great story because it doesn't go anything like I expect. How did you come up with the idea for that? We talked about this before, but I think people should know about it.
Breakneck came from a whole bunch of different places. I had the idea of trying to do the single lone villain against the whole world of superheroes. I had the idea for a long time, and I wanted to do it in a real serious sort of dark way, and I could never find a way in with that. And then one day I looked at it, and I looked at the situation, and I thought, well, this could possibly be funny. And as soon as I realized that it was going to be a comedy of sorts, the whole thing sort of fell into place. How the Ethan Shade was the last villain alive, but he was also potentially the crappiest villain there is. He just wasn't good at his chosen profession. I mean, the only reason he was even a villain in the first place is because he lucked into some powers and, accidentally fell in with a group of supervillains. It was all pure luck, and he never accomplished anything as a supervillain. He was always a D-list at best, is how he always described himself. So once I realized it was going to be a funny story, the whole thing sort of fell into place for me.
Well, there's a lot of irony in that book, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, guys aren't necessarily the good guys that we expect them to be.
No. And that was one of the fun things about writing that book, was that I got to pick on a whole bunch of different, you know, superhero archetypes, really, and play around with them. In the hopefully soon-to-be-released fifth issue, one of my favorite gags that I ever wrote is in that book, in the very beginning. So I really can't wait for that issue to come out.
Oh, boy, I'm looking forward to that myself. Now, you were telling me that there's a trade paperback likely to come out, too.
There is, yeah. The trade paperback so it'd be volume one. It'll have the first four issues, which at this point, physical issues are really hard to come by. So the trade paperback might be a good way for people to get all the first four issues in one chunk. We're actually going to debut it at the Baltimore Con this year.
I'll be there, so I'm looking forward to getting my hands on that.
I'm looking forward to it as well, because that's going to be my first U.S. con, so I'm pretty excited, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, Baltimore is a great place to debut because it's a convention that's run by and for fans of comics. You don't get any of the media stuff. There's no television stars or movie stars there. It's all comics. And, man, it just gets a huge turnout every year. It's almost up to, like, New York Comic Con levels. If you would chop off the media stuff, you would have probably more in Baltimore than you do in New York.
Really? That's what I heard, and that's why I made the decision that Baltimore was the one that I was going to do towards the end of the year here, and why we're going to debut the breakneck trade there as well.
Oh, great. Well, I'm really looking forward to that. I love the story. It's so great. Now, I understand, too, this is going to be, ultimately, when all is said and done, there's going to be 10 issues in this?
Breakneck's going to be 10 issues, yeah. I'm determined to get it to 10 issues. So
okay.
Breakneck stalled out a little bit because James Bolton, who illustrated the first four issues that are released, and the fifth issue that's currently unreleased, actually sort of stepped back from drawing comics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a little tough to try and replace James because he had such a unique style.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm still in the process of trying to nail down a new artist.
Okay.
But we do have the fifth issue that just needs to be lettered up, last couple of touches on it. Hopefully we'll be able to have the fifth issue out before the end of the year, which is kind of the plan. So.
Boy, I'm looking forward to that greatly because I love that book. That was such a wonderful book. So I was wondering what happened to it. So I'm glad to know that there's still more coming. So
there is. We're not done with Breakneck. Not by a long shot.
Oh, great. Okay. Now, you've got two products that are already out, frankly, recently. Now, your first graphic novel, the original one that you've done, has come out. And that's Long Gone?
Yes. Yeah, Long Gone came out from Marcosia Enterprises in November of last year. Was its official release date.
Okay. Yeah, because I love the story in that. Again, you've got a situation where the superheroes have basically proven that they're not necessarily always good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, as I understand the story, there's a retired guy. Basically, the heroes go try and kill everybody they can. And this guy manages to escape that. And he goes to confront these superheroes, or super characters, I guess you want to call them, not necessarily heroes.
That's right.
And it has one of the very best endings I've ever seen. I just was so surprised by the ending. And I would never spoil it because it is such a great ending. So I would highly recommend, if anybody hasn't read Long Gone, it's really good. You can get that one on Comixology. I know. I looked out there for it, and it's out there. And I just loved it. I just thought it was one of the greatest things. So do you want to talk about how this came to be, how you started to make this graphic novel?
Yeah, I mean, this one actually, I specifically remember where the original, where the spark of that idea came from. And Long Gone was in production for a long time. We signed the deal. I mean, I signed the publishing deal we signed with Marcosia was, I think, 2009 or 2010. Like, so it took a while to get it finished. But the actual seed of the idea came to me one day while I was driving, actually. And I was on the highway around like a noon time. And it was one of those really weird times of day where I drove for about, it wasn't even long. It would have been 30 or 45 seconds maybe, but there was no other cars on the road at that time. And immediately my brain started, you know, jumping into writing mode saying, well, where are the rest of the cars? Why is there nobody here?
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was on my way to work. By the time I got to work, I had the basis of the idea was worked out in my head that basically the superhumans, that's had wiped everybody out, and that's why there was no one else on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's a lot of scenes in the book with the main character, Abe, driving through these abandoned, like, empty stretches of road.
Yeah.
Because that had such a strong visual of that image. So I used it in a few places in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm glad you explained that because that makes a whole lot more sense in those parts. I enjoy the driving parts. He's actually going to confront the super characters when this stuff goes on. And we get to see him. It's sort of a Walking Dead kind of a feel where he keeps running into things as he gets there, as he's getting there. And he does get there. And then, like I said, the ending is just a wonderful ending.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned The Walking Dead, because I've been describing it in that way lately. Long Gone essentially is The Walking Dead, but with superhumans rather than zombies.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the easiest way for me to describe the book in a, you know, a real quick way.
Okay. I get a sense from some of the comics that you write that you're kind of glad superheroes aren't really real.
Well, you know what's funny is that, I guess I can understand that, because when I look at, I guess, the body of work that I have so far,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really seem to give superheroes a hard time. But, I mean, I love superhero comics. I grew up reading superhero comics. So I just think there's been so much done with superhero comics that it's hard to find a new an original angle on them.
Mm-hmm.
So turning it around and making them the villains of the story and treating them like, kind of as jokes and things like that, I think is just the only way to look at something that's even remotely original.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, the superhero comics 5 minutes before we started talking, so.
Okay. Well, you know, it's the old adage, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
That's right, yeah.
So I like that in that it's great to read superhero comics, but I'm always kind of looking at them and thinking, you know, if this was real life, if we really had powers, would we all act that way?
Yeah, and I tend to think not. And that's where a lot of the pieces of stories like Breakneck and Long Gone come from. Because, I mean, I'm fairly certain that if I myself had superpowers, I don't think I'd be out fighting crime and doing all these heroic things. I'd probably be using them to help my life easier, you know? So I think that's where a lot of that comes from. I mean, that says more about me than I want to admit, but...
Well, I hate to tell you, when I was younger, I always used to wish I had Green Lantern's power ring because I could do all kinds of stuff with it. You're right, to make my life easier. I wasn't thinking about fighting villains or something. If I had that ring, I could do this and I could do that.
Exactly.
And I was always interested in how that works and how people respond. If I responded that way, and I'm familiar with superhero comics, you know, you have to say other people. And you know, we see examples of people like in politics and stuff like that.
That's right.
And how the power affects them when they have the ability to do things or control the lives of other people. Some of them go crazy with it. And so I think you're absolutely right. And I always love that you actually make the characters, even when they're bad guys, to have human characteristics. And I can see some of the people, even if they're the worst guys, I can say, you know, I knew somebody like that. That, you know, they do a very good job of that, of making them realistic in the sense that we can identify or understand where these characters are coming from, even the villains.
Yeah.
So I like that.
I mean, I appreciate that because it is something that I try to do. I don't really want to make them too one-dimensional. Like, you know, I want the characters, even if they're not going to be in the story for long, I want the characters to feel like real people. And that was,
well, they do, believe me. I like it.
And that was one of the things when I first pitched the idea of Long Gone to Harry Marcos at Marcosia. He said, you know, Marcosia, we don't really publish superhero comics that much. But he said, I don't even think this is a superhero comic. He said, this is a human comic. And I hadn't even thought of it in that way. And as soon as he said it, it totally made sense that that's what it was. It was a story about this old man and, you know, some of the very real emotions that he was going through based on what happens in the story.
Well, it's a wonderful story. I agree. It's a very human comic in the sense that we see what happens to people when they have too much power, and we see people standing up for the human race. It was really kind of encouraging to read that when he basically, and I'm so tempted to say what the ending is, but I don't want to do it because it's such a great story. It'll spoil it, and I don't like that. But it's such a good story. I really recommend if you haven't read Long Gone, the art really matches the story very well. And it's what, 96, how many pages in it?
96 pages, yeah.
Now, if somebody wants to get it, and if they don't want to go through Comixology, how can they access that book?
Well, you can order physical copies from Marcosia's website. The other way is, if you can get a hold of me, you can find me on Twitter. I'm @Mark_Bertolini. I mean, I have copies. I can get signed copies to people, things like that. So that's doable as well.
Okay, great. Because I really hope a lot of people do it because, boy, it's a great read. I really liked it so much. So why don't we go ahead and move on to this other book that you've got out called Broken.
Okay.
It's a very interesting book. We were talking a little bit before I started to record about that it's sort of the Bruce Wayne Batman origin, but it takes off in a very different direction, and I really like it. Do you want to give people like the TV Guide description of it?
Yeah, sure. Broken is ultimately going to be a 3-issue miniseries, and it's published by 215 Inc. And essentially, it was my take on the origin of Batman, because I always thought that Batman, or not even Batman, that Bruce Wayne would have had to be so psychologically damaged based on what happened to him as a child. And I don't think, when you look at it, I would think he never recovered from it, which is why he is Batman. So Broken was kind of my attempt to start in the same general direction as Batman, but then to take it in what I thought would be the logical direction of a child who suffered some horrible trauma, some horrible tragedy like that at a very young age. I don't believe that your first instinct would be to want to fight crime. Because, you know, when you're that young and you haven't really formed your worldview, that crime, even though it was so horrific, is really the only thing you know. And so the character in Broken, Quinn Baker, he sees this horrible crime happen in front of him and ultimately becomes embroiled in the criminal underworld. So it was just my way of trying to make that origin a little more believable. I mean, I guess in 1940, when they created Batman, it was easier to be kind of idealistic and say, the bat flew through my window, so I'm going to fight crime. I don't believe that that's a realistic take on that kind of tragedy.
Yeah. Well, of course, Bruce Wayne was also a millionaire. You know, his family was very rich, and Quinn Baker's family is not very rich.
No.
So he's got a very different perspective on things. And, you know, I have to say that that Quinn kind of creeps me out a little bit. He's got this – if you've ever seen children who have that look that the artist gives them, I get a little scared of kids like that.
Yeah. I mean, Alan Burns, the artist that's illustrating Broken, I mean, he gave him this real sort of innocent yet – malevolent almost look to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh,
from the moment I saw it, that when Alan first showed me the first sketches of him, I thought, that's perfect. Because, yeah, like you said, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, this is going to be three issues. I have a feeling that I know where this story is going to kind of end up because, you know, Batman kind of is revenge-driven. And on some levels, I think Quinn is, instead of going and fighting the underworld, he's kind of working himself into it so that I think he's going to eventually take his, let's just say, let people have it for what they did to him.
At
least I hope.
Yeah, very possible that that's the direction that we're going.
I don't want to spoil the ending because I just, there's three issues and it's going to be fun read because the first one I got to read and I really liked it. And that's out already. People can get that on Comixology. When was that released?
That came out earlier this year. I can't remember the time exactly. I want to say February, March, somewhere around there was when 215 Inc. officially had it published. Mm-hmm. And it went up on Comixology, I would say, within the last month or so.
Okay.
I went through the Comixology submit process, so it's been up there for about a month now.
I'm a huge believer in variety. I like to read stories that I haven't read before. And when I saw the different direction you were taking Quinn in, I thought, oh, man, because who knows what's going to happen, you know, because we all know the Batman story, and there are other characters who have that kind of origin. But the thing that interests me is I don't know exactly where this kid is going to go because he's going a path I haven't seen, you know, a character in comics go. So I am riveted. I want to know what in the heck this kid's going to do. I just think it's great.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan had a couple other commitments to get out of the way before he can keep going on it. But hopefully soon we'll start rolling on the second issue and we'll keep making some more Broken Magic going here.
That'll be fun. Do you have any idea when we can expect the second issue, or is that kind of still hasn't been nailed down
it
yet?
It hasn't been nailed down. Yeah, it's kind of up in the air. So I need to wait till Alan's schedule frees up a little bit so he can get back to work.
Well, it's definitely worth getting. You can get the first issue on Comixology, and is the same situation for getting individual issues? Should people come to you, or are there other ways to get Broken?
Right now, it's only available digitally. So Comixology is your best bet, or you can visit 215inc.com. But, I mean, people can get in touch with me. I can try and direct them where to find it. But right now, there is no physical copies of Broken.
Okay.
It's the kind of thing that I think once the three issues are done, we may look at releasing just the trade of all three as opposed to the individual issues. So right now, digital is the only way to read Broken.
Because I'm finding I'm buying more and more digital comics as time goes along. Just for situations like this, you can put out a digital file of it, and instead of waiting for the paper to print and shipping it and all this kind of stuff, you can actually put it out there a lot faster.
Oh, for sure.
Do you kind of see that more of your stuff in the future is going to go digitally instead of paper?
I think so. I think ultimately it's more cost effective, I think, for the publishers to do it that way. And I think the digital, I mean, I'm slowly getting over my digital bias, I think, the more that my stuff comes out in digital, because the way the industry is going, I think digital kind of is the future. I mean, I'm a huge fan of going to the comic store, and I love having comics in my hands, but I can see the benefit of digital. And like I said, the cost factor alone makes sense for smaller publishers to get their material into the hands of readers. Even with Broken, I don't know that there was an option right away for Broken to be released in print. So having it released in digital was the only way anybody was going to read it. So I'm slowly trying to embrace that aspect of comics.
Well, I think you're kind of like the rest of us, because I was first looking at digital sort of, you know, if I can't get the book, maybe I'll get that. But I've discovered there's stuff like something comes out and I wasn't aware of it. And suddenly I go to the store and it's not there. And the only place I can really get it is digitally. So
yeah.
I'm grateful for that because I could get to read this stuff. So I think what's going to happen as more and more time goes along, people are going to shift more and more digitally instead of doing it. I fear what that's going to mean for comic shops. But, you know, I thought the trade paperbacks were going to be the end of comic shops, too. I thought everything would be of Walden's. Instead, Walden books went under.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, Broken is a great book. If you want to read that too, there's something about children that always scares me a little bit because they are so purely what they are.
Yeah.
And so Quinn is that way. He is purely what he is. And boy, I'm grateful I'm not anywhere in his line of sight. That's all I can say. It's great. Well, there's some other projects I know you were working on too. There's one called Antihero that I'm fascinated by. I saw it out on one of your blogs out online. And I just love that. It seems like Antihero is kind of becoming a popular idea. And there's some great stuff in there. You take a very different tack on that too. I always enjoy when I get your books that it's going to be something I haven't read before. And I'm always happy with that.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that because like I mentioned before, I'm trying to take different approaches to what I'm writing. Yeah, Antihero, I think there's an Antihero now just came out from Monkey Brain.
Yes.
So my Antihero is being pushed back a little bit, but it's still definitely on the slate. It's something that I want to get out. My Antihero story was one of the very first legitimate comic stories that I ever came up with, probably 10 years ago, and has remained pretty unchanged from that time. So
wow,
that's kind of a labor of love, and I really hope to see that released at some point in the near future.
We had a couple of pages out on one of the blogs, and I was reading it, and it's got a very different take from anything else I've seen. You've got a child who is being groomed by an adult to be an anti-hero, it seems like. And boy, I thought, man, again, this thing about kids, I got to get past this bias about it. But whenever there's a kid involved, I'm always kind of like, now what? Yeah. What are they going to do now? I just think it's going to be a great story, and I'm really looking forward to that one particularly.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm excited for it to be out.
Okay.
Hopefully it's going to be sometime soon.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our ears to the ground on it, because I really want to get that. Now, you were saying there was some project that was approved recently that you could talk about. Did you want to mention that?
I do, yes. I have a mini-series, going to be 3 issues, called Scum of the Earth, which is going to be published by Action Lab's Danger Zone imprint.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to Jason Martin at Action Lab just today, and we're getting closer to having an actual release date for it. Mm-hmm. But it was officially announced at SDCC just this past weekend, so I'm really excited about that. It's something that's been in the works for a while, and I kept it quiet as long as I possibly could, so I'm excited to see that come out. I'm excited for everyone to be able to read it.
Well, I see the cover online, and it says Laura and True in Scum of the Earth. On the bottom, it says something that makes me smile. Southern fried sci-fi in the grindhouse manner you demand. I like that. Do you want to give us kind of the basic idea of what's behind it?
Yeah, Scum of the Earth. I've been describing it as Natural Born Killers meets The Predator. So it's exactly what the cover says there. It's a grindhouse style sci-fi, like Bonnie and Harry infused with The Terminator. It was a lot of fun, and it was an interesting book to write, because I was writing it as a graphic novel originally before we signed the deal with Danger Zone, at which point they wanted me to break it into 3 pieces, into 3 issues, which took a while because I had already written in so much of it, but we got it split up, we got it worked out, and Rob Kronenbergs is the artist, and he just finished the 3rd issue last week, so all 3 issues are in the can, ready to go, so hopefully we'll have some release dates coming out for Scum of the Earth soon. But I'm really excited about it. It's going to be part of Danger Zone's second wave of books. It's going to be a digital first initiative, and Scum of the Earth is going to be one of those books. So.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Yeah, you were talking about digital, embracing digital stuff and things like that. So I guess this is part of that.
It is, yeah. And it's another reason why I need to, like you said, embrace the digital a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Are there any other projects that we should know about that you can talk about?
I have a series called Knowledge that's going to be published by Marcosia. Mm-hmm. Probably not till next year, though, the way things are going. It's going to be a 6-issue mini. It looks like, again, the individual issues may be released digitally, and then we'll follow up with a trade in print.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I've got a couple other things that don't have homes yet, and I don't want to get too much into them, but hopefully soon again we'll have more stuff to talk about, more things coming out.
Do you want to give a little description of what Knowledge is about?
Sure, yeah. Knowledge is my take on the idea of a super soldier. You know, in 1940, you had Captain America, and it made sense for a super soldier to be stronger and faster. But in the year 2013, the idea of a super soldier, it makes more sense for them to be smarter. So Knowledge is about super intelligent soldiers essentially waging war with each other. Again, it's more of a sci-fi idea. It's a little out of my wheelhouse, I guess, based on all my other comics, but it's something I'm really excited about, with an artist named Jerome Akemp, who has a real heavy Ben Temple Smith kind of vibe to his art, so I'm excited about that one, too.
Mm-hmm. Who's printing that again?
Marcosia.
Marcosia, okay.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on that. It seems like it's Marcosia or 215 Inc., where if we want to find your stuff, we usually go.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, they've both been really good to me, so as long as they continue to publish my comics, I'll keep making them.
Well, they're great fun. I haven't read a bad story from you yet, and I'm sure I won't, because you always do an interesting little twist and always take things from a different perspective, which I enjoy reading. It's so nice to read something different. I just love that.
They always say, write the comic that you want to read, and these are the kinds of comics that I would love to read. So since no one else is making them, I got to do it.
Okay. Now, once again, do you want to give out how to contact you if somebody wants to get the book that you've made?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Mark, M-A-R-K, _ Bertolini, Bertolini. You can also contact me through my blog, my WordPress blog, which is markbertolini, all one word, dot www.thewaynescomics.com. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, I have a, I guess it's a fan page. I hate calling it that, but I have a Mark Bertolini work page, I guess, that I update with all my different comics and all the work I'm doing there.
Okay. And, of course, 215 Inc. and Marcosia's website, you can get some of the stuff there, too. So
yeah,
that's very good. Well, Mark, I sure appreciate talking with you. I always enjoy your stuff, and it's great to get an update on what you're up to and what we can expect in the future. So I wish you a lot of success, and keep it up. It's great fun.
Well, I appreciate that immensely, Wayne. I thank you for having me on again, and hopefully a couple months down the road when I have more stuff to talk about, we can chat again.
Oh, well, let's do it. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Thanks again, Wayne. Appreciate it.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands. And now, another exciting episode.
Here are the books that I thought were great and worth getting on Wednesday, August the 7th. First thing, if you want to read my review of The Owl Number 2, which I really enjoyed, go to majorspoilers.com and check out my written review there. Be sure to know that that's a great book and I hope you're buying it. It's definitely worth the shekels. Good, good stuff by Mr. Krul. And I also want to give a shout out for Batman Beyond 2.0 Number 1. You couldn't get this at the store. The only way that you can get this is through the DC Comics app or the DC Comics store online. Mr. Kyle Higgins has taken over the writing and he's got a new artist and he does some very interesting things. He uses a great trick that DC Comics loves to do and jump the story ahead a year. And things are very different from where we found them. Terry is still Batman, of course, but the cast around him has gone through a lot of changes as well as he has. He's now in college instead of at high school. Things aren't quite the same between him and Dana, and Commissioner Gordon is involved, and of course that's Barbara, not the father. And you're going to be interested to find out who it is that's speaking to Batman over his helmet, over the radio that goes there, and very interesting. That was the biggest surprise to me of all, what was going on there. Answers a lot of questions and raises some other ones too. Story's good, very interesting things happening. Can't wait to see it again, because boy, that's a great book. I'm sure it's going to be out in paper before long. So if you can't get them through the digital versions, you can find the paper copy before long. That's Batman Beyond 2.0. Now, the rest of the books that came out on Wednesday, August 7th, include Action Comics number 23, which was good. We have Amakami Girls, which is written by the newly married Jimmy Palmiotti, who recently tied the knot with longtime Squeeze Amanda Connor. Congratulations to both of them. And, of course, Justin Gray helps out on writing, too. Then there's Batwing number 23, also done by Palmiotti and Gray. Detective Comics number 23, which is a great story by John Layman. Always good stuff there. We get the final issue of Dial H, number 15. I was really sorry to read it. It's apparently going to carry on in Justice League, but it was a really interesting and crazy story. That book has been really off the charts the whole time, and I'm going to miss it from month to month. Then there's Earth 2, number 15, and Mr. Robinson comes to a close on his writing. There's Green Arrow, number 23. Mr. Lemire is doing that and doing a terrific job on that book. Green Lantern 23 is very interesting. We also get a lot of puzzlement going on as to what's happening in the Green Lantern Corps. Hal is being in charge, not necessarily ready for such a big task, and that causes him to do some things that fascinated me. Legends of the Dark Knight number 11 is also out. Movement number 4, written by Gail Simone, is very good. Then we get Stormwatch and Swamp Thing number 23 each, and the debut of a new Mr. Lemire series. Mr. Lemire may be well known for Sweet Tooth, which was sort of a fantasy and kind of out in the woods kind of a setup. This one is totally the opposite. Trillium is about spacefaring people coming across a substance, and more than that I won't reveal to you because that's going to have a lot to do with the story. Let's just say that I think Mr. Lemire's art is definitely getting a little less sketchy and a lot more coherent, but you know what, I liked it either way. Honestly, it's a great story, so don't miss Trillium number 1. This is your chance to get on board with a great series. I'm sure it's going to be terrific. And then finally from DC, Trinity of Sin, The Phantom Stranger number 11. Now as far as other comics go, there was an Atomic Robo Real Science Adventures number 9, and although it was listed on the releases, it didn't come come out, what didn't come out was Atomic Robo Savage Sword of Dr. Dinosaur number 2. So I don't know what happened. Maybe what they decided to do was spread them out instead of have both them out 1 week, was to have one week and one the next. So that should be coming out before too long. Then from Marvel, we get Emerald City of Oz number 2. Again, more of the Eric Schanauer thing that I love so much from Marvel. And Helheim number 6 from Oni Press. Always good stuff. And there are plenty of other books out this week, so I hope you made a good trip to the store and came home with a lot of good things to read.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. It's time for news and previews. Let's get to the news first. The first thing I want to talk about is there's a revelation in the Trinity War Forever Evil plot twist that I think is really something we should all know. There's a catchphrase going around called "Evil is relative." And what it has to do with is a team of supervillains that we haven't seen for a while. Now, Owlman was in one of the comics before the New 52 debuted, but the Crime Syndicate itself has kind of been around here or there since its inception back in 1964. Well, it turns out that as a result of what happens in the Trinity War, the Crime Syndicate is going to try to take over the Earth, and apparently they enlist a lot of the supervillains to help them. And what's interesting is that they don't understand exactly what the Crime Syndicate is up to, and frankly, neither do we at the start. There's an interesting quote from Geoff Johns who says, "Evil is relative," and what I mean by that is that our villains are as complex, as deep, and as compelling as any of our heroes. Every antagonist in the DC universe has a unique darkness, desire, and drive, and the reason for forever evil is to explore that darkness. We start literally in the first issue when the whole world goes dark, communication and power are gone, and as our Earth is plunged into darkness, the Crime Syndicate begins their plan for conquest. They make themselves known, and they enact their mission to take over. They will lead an army of supervillains, but not every villain sees things the way that they do. Every villain in the DC universe wants something different, and not all of them want to rule the world. Or at least not all of them want to rule the world in the way that the Crime Syndicate does. Now, for me, who's a longtime fan, and I remember the original Batman versus Owlman struggle, in which Owlman could control the mind and the functions of another person's body, I always thought that was really interesting. They're sort of the darker reflections of what the Justice League is. And to see them come back, especially with the kind of twist that I'm sure Mr. Johns will do, will be really interesting. I hope it's as good as that hardcover that Grant Morrison did with them. Boy, that was quite nasty. Ultraman and Owlman at each other over Superwoman, which was something else. So I'd like to see a lot more of that coming up. So September is going to be a real evil month as far as DC is concerned, and I think what they're planning is going to be a lot of fun to get in and watch and see what happens. Coming in September, Forever Evil, so don't miss it. Also, there was a real interesting development regarding the Justice League 3000 series. Initially, it was pegged as the return of the original Justice League group, including Kevin Maguire, Keith Giffen, and J.M. DeMatteis. It's supposed to be the League in the 31st century. But all of a sudden, this past week, Kevin Maguire went out on Twitter and on Facebook and said he was unexpectedly fired from the project. And the bad news is he won't be involved with any for now. He does have other projects coming up with DC, and we're not exactly sure what happened at that point, but it looks like Howard Porter is going to be the new Justice League 3000 artist, and it's been moved from October to December 2013. Porter was already working with DC and the co-writers creating concept designs for the series, so he seemed to be a natural choice to replace it. Now, I don't know what happened with Mr. Maguire. I love his art. One of the problems we have sometimes these days is that some of the artists aren't as fast as we would like, and it just makes it easier to have a monthly title if you can have somebody like Howard Porter, who's a little faster on the draw than Mr. Maguire is. It'd be nice if they let Mr. Maguire do the covers. That would be a great move and very conciliatory thing to do, and to give him lots of good projects that matches speed, but I think it'll be fun. I will miss the original Justice League group getting together because those were such fun issues. His art matched the style of Giffen and DeMatteis so well. It was just a landmark series. I still pull them out every once in a while just to read them because they were so enjoyable and entertaining. But anyway, we'll see Howard Porter on that. And Mr. McGuire, if you're out there, I'm going to be buying everything you do, so don't worry about that. We'll be with you all the way. Justice League 3000 coming in December. Then there's an interesting story that I find really fascinating, is that the RG Comics have been working really hard to get their characters into the modern era, doing things like the gay character that they've introduced, and having like a Occupy Riverdale kind of books. So they're always trying to bring in things and making things that people who are familiar with the comics industry going on. They are now doing something called Afterlife with Archie. And what it is, it's a zombie-fied ongoing series from Archie Comics. The first issue will arrive October 9th, just in time for Halloween, and it's the first ever Archie direct market only and non-all-ages title. It's written by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa. I'm sure I fractured that. And the art is Francesco Francavilla, which is a name you probably have heard before, doing many of the other books, including like Batman, and I believe his Mob with the Flash, and other good things like that. And it's called Escape from Riverdale, the first chapter, and this is how the end of the world begins. Archie and the gang are taken where they've never been before, to the grave and back. A horrific accident sets off a series of grim events, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch must try to repair the unspeakable evil her spell has unleashed. Gasp in horror as Riverdale faces an impending zombie arch-pocalypse. This brand new, spine-tingling, ongoing series, but be warned, kiddies, this one's not for the faint of heart. I'm fascinated that the Archie folks are trying to move their characters into Walking Dead territory, as well as they have with other sort of modern titles. I don't know what the fandom is for that. You know, they talked about Archie choosing between Betty and Veronica. There's all kinds of things happening that, I don't know, the Archie characters I thought were forever in their timelessness. They always had high school kids going on, and this business I think is going to be something I'm not quite clear that, let's just say, the more adult of us are going to want to buy Archie's comics dealing with zombies. I'd rather buy The Walking Dead. So I'm not quite sure what we're going to see. It's something to see. I'll be curious to see how the sales do. It won't be long after October 9 that we'll find out what's going on. But if that's your cup of tea, you know, all to you. But I think I'm going to pass on this one. And that's the news for this week. Let's get to the previews for Wednesday, August 14th. We start off with DC Comics, and there's several of them there that I'm very interested in. Astro City number 3, then there's Batgirl number 23, as well as Batman number 23. I'm kind of glad those are out on the same week these days. Lots of Bat characters. And speaking of Bat characters, there's two more to go. Batman Arkham Unhinged number 17, and Batman Little Gotham number 5, a compilation of the digital first comics. Then there's Constantine number 6, Demon Knights number 23. There are new 52 compilations of The Flash. There's a trade for volume 1 called Move Forward. And then there's volume 2, which is hardcover for Rogue's Revolution. Then there's Green Lantern Corps number 23, Justice League of America number 7, The Trinity War, Katana number 7, and Nightwing number 23. For those who like the Smallville Season 11 Digital First Comics, issue number 16 is out. Then we have Suicide Squad number 23, Superboy number 23, I think Threshold is coming to an end, but this is number 8, and then World's Finest number 15. From IDW Publishing, we have Doctor Who Volume 3 number 12, $3.99. For my latest ideas as to what they're going to do with the Doctor now that we've got a new incarnation coming, go to majorspoilers.com and look up Comics Portal. John Byrne's Doomsday Point 1 number 4 is out, as well as Star Trek Ongoing number 24, and a book I'm really looking forward to because Mr. Phil Hester is doing it, Thunder Agents number 1. DC had the rights for that for a while, and now it looks like IDW's got them. Mr. Hester always tells a really good story. He does Invincible Universe and good things like that, so I expect good things out of that book. Then we have from Image Ghosted number 1, a second printing, and Ghosted number 2, both of them done by Joshua Williamson really well. Great, interesting story. Just got to find out how they're going to capture and collect a ghost. That'll be interesting. Then we have Great Pacific number 9, the Invincible Compendium Trade Paperback volume 2, and Walking Dead 113. Boy, I can't believe that book's been going on this long. From Marvel, we get Dexter number 1, the second printing. It's interesting to see them turning that into a comic. And the next big Marvel event is underway, Infinity number 1. So I'm sure many people will want to have that. Other books coming out include Battlestar Galactica number 3, Damon number 1, the second printing is out, Deathmatch number 8 from Boom Studios. Really like that book quite a lot. Great, great book. Then there's Fubar by the Sword number 1, Garfield Pet Force Special number 1. That's them as superheroes. Then we get Grimm number 4, based on the NBC series that's very successful. From Valiant, we get Harbinger number 15. And last, and certainly not least, is Superbia Ongoing number 10 from Boom and also from Grace Randolph. Great, great, great book. You should be getting that book if you haven't been buying it already. And those are the books out on Wednesday, August 14th. And that's a wrap for this episode. Be back next week when I have the landmark 100th episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. One of the things you'll hear is my fun interview with J.T. Krull, scripter of such good things as Superman Beyond, and my favorite, The Owl, which is out now from Dynamite. We'll talk about a lot of interesting things then, and there'll be another surprise or two. But until then, keep reading your comics!